and co-workers who have I shared the gospel with and discussed some of the errors of Christianity. When talking to Roman Catholics relative to their beliefs and our beliefs, it's imperative that we establish the two most important points of our position. Our authority, sola scriptura, scripture alone, the Bible, is our source for the source for all Christians. And we will see in the presentation the Catholics have a different approach to this. The gospel, sola fide, faith alone, salvation is a free gift. So there's no further payment once we receive it. Sola gratia, grace alone, salvation comes from what God has done rather than what we do. Again, contradiction, Catholicism contradicts that. So if you submit to another authority, it will lead to another Jesus, which leads to another gospel. So that's what... There is, as I explained to some of the people earlier, there's, instead of just talk, how do we sit down and talk with Catholics, some of the differences are outlined so that when you do speak with them, you know what they're thinking. You know where they're coming from. Because I can't make the assumption that everybody here is a former Catholic and really already knows those things. Some are, some aren't, but we're going to cover all of that. Many Catholics believe they're not good enough for heaven, yet not bad enough for hell. So, U.S. population, 325 million, that's the 2017 census figure, 83% identify as Christians. Catholics are included in that 83%. So that's why so many Catholics believe that they're on the same level with us. I mean, as far as their understanding, they're being categorized as Christians. Many do not feel a need to change their religion. They think that's what they're doing. We're trying to get them to come to our religion. It works for us as opposed to their religion. So a lot of Catholics just don't understand why I even talk about it. But the question is, are they Christian? Not if they believe Roman Catholic theology of the gospel. So that takes them right out. You'll find out they'll push you away. They don't like it. All right, why do this? We're commanded to go forth and proclaim the gospel. That's the main reason why we do this, because that's what we're asked to do. There's only one gospel and one Savior. Proclaim it. The only message of hope for the non-believer. We should acknowledge that it's a great privilege to be an ambassador for a great act of love and compassion. As you can see, God assures success whenever his elect hears his gospel. And he says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. Not some, not most, but all. So that's why we have to reach all. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Proclaiming the gospel also glorifies God. That's another reason why we do it. The Roman Catholics are fertile soil for the gospel. And reason being, they believe in the Trinity. They believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. They believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit. They believe in the need of salvation. They share some common ground morally and ethically. And the first one that comes out is abortion. I mean, that's common with, we all seem to be, there are some that don't agree with the position on abortion, the biblical position. But they feel as though they're moral. They support right to life. So there are 70 million Roman Catholics in the United States, most of whom were born into their religion and have never examined their faith through the lens of Scripture. Roman Catholics need to be rescued out of their false system. We all know that an organ transplant is a temporary cure for a temporary problem. But the non-believer, or Roman Catholic in this case, is in need of a cure for an eternal sin problem. So, let's see. I have to get used to having the PowerPoint in about 20 years. Okay. Roman Catholics. I forgot, got that one. Okay. Yeah. We must tell Roman Catholics the truth about Scripture, the most trustworthy authority. Sin, Mary, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, God's grace, God's righteousness, and not necessarily in that order, but those are the topics, the issues that we need to approach them with. Okay, what are the main points? And this is divided up into seven sections. There's different points, why we do it, what are the objections, rejections. We'll get to all those. But the main point is Roman Catholics are trapped in bondage and legalism. They need to hear the truth. Jesus is sufficient to save sinners completely and forever. You need nothing else. Jesus Christ is our only hope. If you submit to another authority, it will lead to another Jesus, which leads to another gospel. If anyone preaches another gospel, let it be a curse. Catholic salvation is based on faith plus works, grace plus merit, Scripture plus tradition, and the blood of Jesus plus purgatory. They are trapped in deception, not knowing that they have been deceived. They've been indoctrinated in many cases since birth, and which is a barrier to biblical truth and is erected in their minds. They are taught that everything that comes from Rome takes precedence over the Bible. If the Pope says it, it must be true. Unfortunately, Catholics are not taught to think for themselves, and many do not know why they believe what they do. Many have no concept of what is written in the Bible other than the passages they hear Sunday morning at Mass. They need to hear the truth. They need to be free from religious deception, free from the bondage of religion, and free from the bondage of sin. Those who have been deceived are not even aware that they've been misled unless they are confronted with the truth. And that's our mission. Point out to them that the only way to be 100% sure is to do what the Church of Berea did in the New Testament. They examined the Scripture to see if what the Apostle Paul taught them was true. The teachings as exposed in Scripture are truth that will set you free. The Bible is the only objective, divinely inspired authority for discerning God's truth from errors of man. Why the attack on the singularity of God's gospel? Because it's the only message with the divine power to save sinners. So Satan, he's out there. He's got his people doing just the opposite of what we're trying to do. The teachings of the Roman Catholic Church are deceptions that will hold you in bondage. The Roman Catholic Catechism is not inspiring. It's written by fallible men. Those who follow other authorities, Scripture tells us, those who follow other authorities are prone to deception. I have the same thing here that's here. But what I do is I have marks here so I can change by what I have to read. So I just want to share that with you. Okay. The teachings as exposed in Scripture. Let me make sure I got the right one. I've already done that one. Okay. Okay, what are the issues? This is what we need to get to. They have a wrong gospel. The Bible is what God says. They have a wrong doctrine of salvation. They believe works versus grace. Then the Roman Catholic is looking for righteousness. Saved Christians have the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. And religion is what man says, God says. So it's all, they can just change, and it's happened over the history of the Roman Catholic, of Catholicism, Roman Catholicism. There's been additions, deletions, all types of changes that have been made. They substitute traditions of man for the Word of God. Roman Catholic hierarchy continues to add to their beliefs and understandings with new revelations. And there's examples of popes making changes, I think, without knowing the exact years and when it all took place. But Joan of Arc was an example. One condemned her, the other one forgave her, and the other one made her a saint. So it's, you know, there are changes that take place. Roman Catholics believe that justification is a process, not an act. Our belief is that justification is a divine act where God declares the sinner righteous. Justification by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone. Our sins have been forgiven on the basis of what Christ has already done. It's finished. And Scripture there to support that. Okay. Let's see if they, yeah. They are not brothers and sisters in Christ, as they are not in Christ. So they categorize, the many categorize themselves as Christians. And when you say, okay, you got Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, Jewish, whatever, they fall into that category. But they're not. And people, there are some pastors, some of the new gospel, the social gospel that's out there also, is bringing in, embracing Catholicism as though they are the same as we are, but just a little bit different. That's not a problem. It is a problem if we look at it correctly.
And it's interesting, right, as you watch the news, that when the new pope was elected a few years ago, 2,000 years of church tradition, the head of the Christian church, and all this language is used that is inaccurate. Right? The pope is not our head. Right? But the media and the secular world doesn't know or care about these distinctions, although they are infinitely important.
Good. I want you to, as a matter of fact, I spoke with Dan earlier on anything relative to theology, for him to comment on it. I don't want to be having questions at this stage until we know that we've got enough time here, because we want to make sure we have sufficient time for the breakout table. So the Roman Catholic, I want to make sure I got the right page. What are the issues? They are not brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay. Gotcha. They believe in salvation they believe the baptism affects contribution, conversion, and they believe that they must make contributions to their salvation through sacraments, which are works, hand works. They need to acknowledge that they cannot make contributions to their salvation, and that Jesus did it all for those who are saved. What are we basically, they say they're Christian, but they are what they believe. We're all what we believe. It's impossible for anyone to believe two opposing views simultaneously. So again, if you're Catholic and you believe in the Catholic gospel, Catholic tradition, Catholic doctrine, you're not a Christian. Not the way we understand it and define it. Okay. All right, then be aware of some of the lies believed by Roman Catholics. First, the Pope is infallible. Pope John Paul II said that those who believe in accordance with the Beatitudes will enter God's kingdom. Pope John Paul II said that one does not need to believe in Jesus Christ and the Roman Catholic Church to enter heaven. Some Romans bishops have taken the place of the 12 apostles. Again, lies. Catholicism teaches that their bishops have, by divine institution, taken the place of the apostates as pastors of the church in such wise that, and this is straight from the Catholic Catechism, in such wise that whoever listens to them is listening to Christ, and whoever despises them despises Christ. According to God's word, they're not qualified to be successors of the original 12 apostles. They have not met the necessary qualifications that are listed in Acts 1:21-22, which is participated in Jesus' earthly ministry and have seen the resurrected Christ. There have been only two successors of the apostles, Matthias and Paul. Yet they claimed that there are. Rome's priests are false mediators. Every Roman Catholic priest is said to have the task of representing Christ before the assembly of the faithful, but also of acting in the name of the whole church when presenting to God the prayer of the church, and above all, when offering the Eucharistic sacrifice. Again, that's straight from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In this way, Catholics are totally dependent upon priests for their salvation. The priest is their mediator. The truth must be told, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. The Eucharist, another lie, the Eucharist is the physical body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The transubstantiation. Roman Catholic priest has the power to call Jesus Christ down from heaven, then transubstantiate or change the inner substance of the wafer into the physical body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that's what is in the Catholic Catechism. Scripture declares Jesus will remain in heaven until he appears a second time, not to bear sin. So again, contradiction. Another lie is they believe in purgatory. Purgatory is defined as a place where Roman Catholics go after death to be purged of their sins that Jesus Christ was unable to purge by his shed blood. Again, contradicting what we believe. An example of these lies is that if you wear a scapula, those who are in this room who have been Catholics probably had a scapula when they, I don't know, when do you get it? When you make your confirmation? But I can remember having the scapula. I never really knew the true meaning behind it. However, scapula, if worn at the time of their death, Mary promises to remove them from purgatory on the first Saturday after their death. So, a lot of magic going on here. Only the shed blood of Christ can purify sin. And yet they put it together. Another lie is venial sin. As a Catholic growing up, we were always, you know, you had mortal sin and venial sin. You told the lie, it's a venial sin. You went out and stole something, as kids anyway. That was the mortal sin. Venial sin is defined as a minor sin that may not condemn one to hell if not confessed, but will result in their spending time in purgatory. And we know sin is sin. And there's a couple of verses in the scripture that will explain that or cover that for us. Okay, Catholics have a different Jesus and a different Mary. Catholic Mary is called a sinless mediatrix. And that's out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 494. It's the way it's defined. Jesus is the only sinless mediator qualified to go between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5. So, Timothy versus paragraph 494. It requires a perfect mediator. And we know who the only perfect person ever was. Mary was a sinner. Sinners are aware of their sin and are in need of a Savior. Mary cried out to God, her Savior, in Luke 1:47. Mary knew that she was in need of a Savior. She was not sinless. Okay. This, I don't know, can you read it? Yeah, because I can barely read it here. Put this together, I call it simply stated, areas of dispute, simply stated. And this came from the Evangelicals and Catholics Divided. It's a book that Mike Gendron has got out. And what it says here is, to the finished work of redemption, they add the sacrifice of the Mass. To his purifying blood, they add the fires of purgatory. To his word, they add their tradition. To his role as sinless mediator, they add Mary and their saints, as other sinless mediators. To his headship, to the church, they add the Pope. To his high priestly office, they add Catholics confessing their sins to an illegitimate priesthood. To his righteousness, they add that Catholics become righteous. To his unmerited grace given freely, they add the need for the sacraments. To his redemptive work, they add the need for their own works. So as I said, what I'm trying to do is expose Catholicism. So they're not just other people that are in the dark. If you understand it, and so many of us probably have family, certainly people that we work with from time to time, but family that are Roman Catholic. So by knowing it, you can understand them, and then you can explain things in a better way. What should you expect when talking to Catholics? Number one, pushback. Here's what they believe. All religions are good. All religions lead to God. What you believe works for you. What I believe works for me. And I was born a Catholic, I will die a Catholic. As a matter of fact, in a dinner Sophia and I had with a couple, we're sharing the gospel, and we've done it before, but we're sharing the gospel, and he doesn't understand why I left Catholicism, why his own son is born again. And they just think we just joined another church. So he was saying that he doesn't even go to church anymore. That he could talk to God anywhere. He doesn't have to go to a church, have to pay money, put it in the basket, have to listen to a priest who's a pedophile. You know, those are his words. And he just doesn't want anything to do with the Catholic Church. So he believes he's good to go by staying at home. And he wants to be cremated when he dies. So his wife said to him, you don't go to church, you're not showing that you're a Catholic. You're not exhibiting that. You don't keep the sacraments. Catholicism, at least her understanding, is cremation is not an option. I understand that's been changed, but I can't make that, you know, prove that. So he said that he's telling his wife, I am a Catholic. I was born a Catholic, and I will die a Catholic. But he doesn't even know what Catholicism is. It's almost like because he's Italian, you know. He thinks it's the same as being Catholic. So that's the type we should expect pushback. Okay. Then there are common objections. There's objections and rejections. But the objections from Roman Catholics are that the Bible contains error, that it was written by man, that the Old Testament is irrelevant, they're just old writings, that the Bible does not apply to today's world. You are trying to change us to your religion. There's a long history in my of Catholicism in my family. Quote, I can't believe that you want me to believe that they did not go to heaven and are spending eternity in hell. I mean, I've had relationships, friendships, good friendships that have ended because when the questions were asked, I answered them the best I can, and they can't believe that their mother's in hell. I mean, I didn't say she was. I don't know if she was saved at the last minute. Don't know that. But because she was a practicing Catholic and died about 90 years of age, and I'm going to tell him from my perspective that she went to hell because she didn't believe all of this stuff. And that was years ago. No more dinners, no more ball games, nothing. But then the importance of the Pope. No man or Pope is infallible. Peter, who Catholics believe was their first pope, admitted that he was wrong. And a reference is Galatians 2:11-14. So, another objection is the importance in keeping the sacraments. They believe it's very important to keep the sacraments. Being obligated to keep the sacraments nullifies God's grace and denies the finished and all-sufficient work of Christ. But they just believe, I don't know, what, maybe seven sacraments? That there are not, that doesn't apply to everybody because you have the holy orders and not everybody's a priest or a nun, but or not everybody is married. But they believe that you have to keep those sacraments. They are deceived. God has revealed that trusting in anything other than Christ and His Word is evidence of deception. Those who choose to follow the traditions, the opinions, and the philosophies of men will be condemned. John 12:48, Jesus said that the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. So he rejects me and does not receive my words. And they do this every single day, especially when they don't even want to listen to it.
So there's a tension that you may have seen in the last couple of slides. Two slides ago, it said something, what are some of the objections you hear from Catholics? Well, our religions are good. Right? But the last frame you saw, that it's important to keep the sacraments. So our religion's good or not, right? And so what we're having right now in Roman Catholicism is you have some traditionalist, conservative Catholics who want to say the sacraments are good, that the Pope is important, and all the things kind of on the board now. Or you have some more liberal ones who really aren't aware of the historic teachings of the Church. And just like a liberal Protestant, they'll say our religions are good and the Old Testament's old. And so same thing is happening in Protestantism, you know, conservative versus mainline, using Catholicism. The only difference really is they have a single institution, so they congregate together on Sundays, whereas for us, they go to a United Methodist Church and we come to a Baptist Church. Right? So that's, if you're feeling that tension, that's why. And that's going to be the ultimate downfall of Roman Catholicism.
Thank you. So common rejections from Roman Catholics. Rejections. If others were objections, they could express themselves. Rejections is like the one I just defined. Don't want to see you anymore. I mean, no phone calls, no Christmas cards, no ball games, nothing. And so those are rejections. Accusing you as attempting to be a know-it-all, arrogant, and judgmental. And if any of you, not just the Catholics, but sharing the gospel with people, you've probably heard that from others. Not just Catholics. But it's easier for the ones that I've been with, for them to say that because their family or friends, they can feel like they can say that to me directly. Then they turn off and disassociate with you. And they don't want you to discuss the subject with them again. So those are the types of rejection that we can expect. Okay. All right, what are the techniques for reaching Roman Catholics? And this is what it's all about. The rest was just setting the table. But the techniques for reaching Roman Catholics, and they're not all of them, obviously, but they're what I was able to come up with. We need to show them that we are sinners, deserving of God's wrath. So we put ourselves on the same plane as them, without getting into their religion, without getting into anything else. We are sinners along with them. If they are able to see who they are, sinners deserving of God's wrath, they will see their need for a Savior. So that's what's got to take place. Not from us, we just share it. One of the other techniques is to persevere with patience and gentleness. 2 Timothy 2:24-26. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to the senses and escape from the snare of the devil, after being captured by him to do his will. So we have to have patience. We have to be gentle. We cannot attack. Give the Spirit of God an opportunity to bring them to the conviction of their sin.
Dave, what was that verse reference again you just quoted?
I got 2 Timothy 2, 24-26. And if there's errors, let me know. But as I said, give the Spirit of God. That's the important thing. It's not us that can do it. We're messengers. As I said, we're a mailman. We're just out there delivering, sharing it. But give the Spirit of God an opportunity to bring them conviction of their sin. Let Jesus increase while we decrease. And that should be our objective. Avoid preaching and arguing. And aim to have a balanced conversation. Try to keep it simple. Keep it on the table. Stay focused on the gospel and its divine power to save. Lots of scripture references there, but the simplicity of the gospel is what will speak to the Catholics the most. Our words are powerless to convert the soul. And sure, we know that, but it's just a re-edification. It's powerless. Avoid going off on tangents that are unrelated to salvation. And I can remember Sophia and I being with family, and there's like 15, 16 of us at a big table. I don't know what the holiday was back in Connecticut. And we just argued. I mean, if there was an objection or they asked a question, we answered it. And then when they came back, we were trying to shove the gospel down their throat. Because we knew we're right and they're wrong. And it's easy to take that position. And thank God, hearts have been softened a little bit, through those experiences. But again, avoid going off on tangents that are unrelated to salvation. And I referenced there 1 Corinthians 2:2. Don't push your Catholicism is wrong. Because when you attack their religion, you're attacking them, and that's the quickest way for them to push back and reject you. Human nature being what it is, any threat to one's belief system is automatically resisted. Apologetic confrontation tends to make Catholics defensive, and then they put up walls. Directly attacking Catholic teaching is not recommended, as it is often self-defeating. Catholics have been told to expect this from the Protestants. So most of them are prepared for confrontation or simply cut off communication right away because they just know what we're going to be doing. It is better to rely on the power of God's word to change a person's heart. And for that I reference Hebrews 4:12. Do emphasize sola scriptura. That is our authority, that is our security. Establish Scripture as the supreme authority for truth. Proclaim Jesus and His Word as the most trustworthy soul for truth. Proclaim the Lord Jesus as the all-sufficient Savior. Discuss how sin has condemned every man under God's righteous judgment. Warn them of the fatal consequences for anyone who teaches or believes a different gospel. They may be comfortable where they're at, but once they are aware, if it resonates, Galatians 1:6 through 9 will get that message across to them. Use the power of God's word. Ask them to read Scripture out loud. What is this scripture saying to you? These are what we can ask them. What is God teaching you there? They've been trained to say, quote, that's your interpretation. That is why they will say, if you start interpreting, that's what they will say if you start to interpret scripture for them. So try to stay away. The gospel is the gospel, but unless they're asking something and they're willing to have a discussion with you, not a debate, Dan can get involved in a debate with somebody on the issue. But as far as staying away from a debate, don't try to interpret scripture for them. Let them read it. Let it sink in. Let it resonate. Also, listen to them. Very, very, very important. It's in all communication and dialogue, if we're going to have a good dialogue with anybody, whether it's our wife or our family, friends, you got to listen to the other person. And sometimes they can be so stubborn, they can bring out the stubbornness in me sometimes. So. But over time, as I said, I've mellowed a little bit. Ask honest questions about what they believe about God. Why do you believe what you believe? Show me in Scripture where these beliefs are supported and are shown to be true.
David,
yes?
Do you find that to be I often go to that as a starting point, but just asking people, you know, what do they believe? And just seeing where it goes. Have you tried that or with Catholics as a starting point?
And what they believe, what I do is I'm not out there in the where some of these people are. They're in Roman Catholic Church parking lots on Sunday with tracts and trying to get the gospel across. The approach that I have made have been trying to segue in to the gospel, to a discussion. You know, somebody might say, what did you do Sunday? Did you go out St. Patrick's Day celebrating or anything else? I say, no, I was preparing for a class or a session on Tuesday night. Well, what were you involved in? And then I can tell them. Or if it's a small group, I purposely say to people, and now I was preparing for a class. I got to teach a class on Sunday, only to get their reaction. And then it can lead me into a discussion about the gospel, presenting the gospel, and allow them to ask questions of me, and then I can ask questions of them. But now, once they're open to a dialogue, I feel more comfortable, and I think they're more comfortable, rather than them pushing back right away. So, show me the scripture what are supported and shown to be true. By answering, he will hear himself articulate his belief. I put that here. This is here. In some quiet moments later on, they may replay those tapes and the answers that they got in their head. Just planting a little seed. That's the way I've spoken to my family, my brother, my sister, Catholic, my daughter, my son-in-law, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all of them. They're Catholic. As a matter of fact, my daughter works for the local parish. So it's kind of funny when we're there with a large gathering. My granddaughter, my eldest granddaughter, will often bring this up because she's not Catholic, but she knows that another party there are also born-again Christians. So she'll bring something up. It might be political or whatever, trying to get conversation going. And my daughter will get up and start doing dishes. I mean, she'll just walk right out of the room. She just cannot partake in it. It's a difficult time for her. So got to be gracious, patient, and pray. Some questions to ask. Do you believe that you're going to heaven? Why do you believe that you're going to heaven? And some will say they don't know. Like I said before, earlier on, is that some people believe that they're not good enough to go to heaven, but not bad enough to go to hell. So they're really not sure where they're going, what's going to happen. Pardon?
Most believe they're going to purgatory.
Purgatory, yeah. Time out. Yeah. But why do Catholic priests continue? Another question to ask them. Why do Catholic priests continue to offer Jesus as a sacrificial victim when he said it is finished. And again, I reference John 19:30. Do you know that Jesus has already obtained redemption for believers? These are, again, questions to ask them, if you can get it highlighted. The Catholics deny that. And that's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 405. We say Jesus has already obtained redemption for believers. And I have it here if anybody wants me to read it, it's short. God's word declares he, Jesus, entered once for all into the holy places, etc., thus securing an eternal redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So it's very to the point. It's finished. But they say, they deny that it's already been done. That you still have work to do. Why do you call Jesus Savior when you must save yourself? The Catholic Catechism states that the sinner must make satisfaction for or expiate his sins, meaning penance. Again, that's paragraph 1459. In Acts 4:12, God's word proclaims, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So again, there are we can parry with them all night long. We've got the support of Scripture. Another question is, why do you believe a place called purgatory can purify your sins? The Vatican deceives Catholics by teaching that they, quote, must undergo purification in purgatory to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. Directly out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. God's word says, when he, Jesus, has made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That he gave himself for us to purify for himself a people for his own possessions. And that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So, again, either you believe and follow Scripture or you don't. But by pointing these differences out, it might mellow them a little bit. They may not be as offended. They can see it, read it, and then they may change. It may change. Those verses that I just read, I didn't give you the verses, but I read them from verses. These verses destroy the myth of purgatory. And then, why do you pray to Mary? God's word says. Hebrews 1:3, Titus 2:14, and 1 John 1:7. And as I said, that those verses destroy the myth of purgatory. So the next question is, why do you pray to Mary? Catholics are taught to pray the Rosary, which is made up of over 50 meaningless and repetitious prayers to Mary. Throughout the Bible, we see believers praying to God, not Mary. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us how to pray, instructing us to pray to the Father and not to use meaningless repetition. Matthew 6:7-13. Understand where your Catholic friend or family member is coming from. Their value often lies in following or believing in the customs of the local parish. So that's why you got to understand where they are, what they're rooted in. As I said, the example I gave before, the man says he's Catholic. He's been a Catholic all his life. He's going to die a Catholic. He doesn't go to church. So there is no local parish. My daughter works for the parish. Share your own testimony, letting your friends know what God is doing in your life now. we know that your testimony isn't the gospel, sharing the gospel. But by sharing your own testimony, they may be able to bring that shield down a little bit and engage with you, because if applicable, let them know that you were once a practicing Roman Catholic. And that's always good, because they say, why did you change? And it's not because I just found a church closer to my house, and we all have gone through that experience. Not some here have been Catholic all their lives. I mean, born again Christians for most of their lives. But they need to know why the change took place in our lives. It's helpful. Teach antithetically. Show them what they need to forsake. Teach them what the truth is and what opposes the truth. And I have a reference there, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. To affirm a doctrine, to affirm a doctrine, you must deny its opposite. God saves by faith in his finished work, not our works. God saves by the baptism of his Spirit, not our baptism. God saves by his righteousness, not ours. God saves by his one offering, not our offerings. God saves by his blood, not by purgatory. God saves by the obedience of Christ, not our obedience. And God saves by his faithfulness, not by ours. Teach them to observe the commands of God, not what they're taught in the church. Repent and believe the gospel. Teach them that repentance is the change in mind and direction after hearing the truth. It is turning from sin and self to God. Prior to coming to Christ, we were running from him. But once we heard the truth, we no longer ran from him, but towards him. What does repentance look like? It reflects on personal sin. It resists the devil and submits to God. And these are things that they have to hear, because they don't, most of them, don't really understand anything more than going through the rituals from, you know, for an hour on Sunday. They really don't understand. I didn't. Oh, to a point I did. I went to Catholic grammar school, and kids went to Catholic schools all through college. But repentance recognizes divine wrath. Repentance rejects religious rituals. And repentance renounces religious heritage. So if you can get those messages across, if you can understand a little bit more of what the Catholic believes, which is opposite of what we believe, then you can, as you asked the question earlier, Dennis, about asking a question, if you know what they know, you can gear your presentation, your witnessing to them based on what you know about Catholicism, and then who they are. You know, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's a family member, or whether it's somebody at work. But anyway, that concludes it. And what we're going to do, and almost perfect time, what we're going to do is... Greg, you want to have a break for a couple of minutes? 5 minute break, yeah. And then back at the tables, have a breakout session, table session. And then I've got 3 pages, well, not full pages, but questions that the table leader can ask of you or conduct it their own way. One page has got 12 questions, but I suggest that the table leaders maybe ask 5 of those questions, and then the attendees, those that are at the table, can respond in defense of our Christianity. Or they can choose to have each one of us pick 5 and talk about it, whichever you're comfortable or more curious about. And there's a scenario there. And just depending upon what the table leaders are comfortable with doing with their group. And then I've also got a couple tracks entitled Roman Catholicism and what else was it? Dealing with Catholics, the difference between Rome and ourselves. So, that's it. Yes?
Is it possible to get copies of your album?
Certainly. I have the paper because what I did is when I was preparing this thing, I thought I was going to have everything up on the screen. And it was suggested to me.